Hi, Jerry. This government have totally failed our brilliant healthcare providers. I spent hours in the E&E on Monday evening with my daughter and have seen firsthand the nurses and doctors doing a brilliant job under severe pressure due to staff shortages in the hospital. You can clearly see some of the staff are totally exhausted from the large volume of work they're expected to do. We need to see all vacant jobs filled ASAP at UHK to help relieve the overcrowding and speed up the care of patients. There were people waiting on trolleys at entrances to storerooms. Our nurses and doctors need and are entitled to better work conditions. That comes in from Mike Kennedy from the Labour Party in Kerry, and it's with that that we're talking next, because I spoke to Karen Condon, who's a member of the Force of Trade Union. She used to work at University Hospital Kerry but left her position because of a lack of a chance to progress and get promoted because of the staff embargo, and then following on the pay and number strategy, which FORSA and other trade unions are saying is getting rid of posts that need to be in place to help the overall situation. They're taking part in a lunchtime protest today between 12:30 p.m. and 1:15 p.m. at the hospital. Have a listen.
So I was working in the HSE in UHK for the last 2.5 years. In April 23, January 23, we put ourselves forward for interviews for grade 5, which would be a promotional opportunity for us. And we got the results in April 23, and I placed quite high on the Cork Kerry panel. So we're all thinking that we would have our promotions by hopefully the end of the summer. But in May 23, then the embargo hit, and we were told that there was no promotional opportunities left. Now, I was the workplace rep in UHK as well. And it did happen a few people that they were offered the promotion, but when the embargo came in, because they had no contract signed, they weren't able to take up the positions. So that has been ongoing. And then earlier on this year, I got offered a promotional position in the civil service. So at the end of August this year, I had to leave UHK and take up their promotional offer. I couldn't turn it down.
So you left. You'd still be there in UHK if you had got the promotion?
Yes, I would. Yeah, it was a job I absolutely loved. I loved working there. I had a great group of colleagues, and I would have been happy to stay if I gotten the promotion.
Okay, and that's all brought up by the fact that, look, okay, the embargo came in, it's now been lifted, but it didn't make that difference. Your time was there, and you made the decision to go because of that bar that was there to, I suppose, progressing with your career.
Yes, exactly. And plus, then the positions that might have been there, sure, they were wiped out, and up to the end, that, like any vacancies that were there up to the 31st of December were wiped out, so we don't know if the vacancies will be filled that were there prior to December 31. So, like, to be honest, I just couldn't take the chance.
Yeah, and they were scrapped effectively at the end of 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. And look, obviously, there's, on top of that, then there's the issue of workers working under pressure. The morale, if you're gone, maybe other people left, the vacancies that are there, the unfilled positions, that all adds to the workload, which is kind of like a non-virtuous cycle, if I can call it that, Karen.
Yes, and like I did leave there at the end of August, and to my knowledge, my position has not been filled. So that was the medical secretary position. I have not been replaced, as far as I know, or if I have, it's part-time. So that's putting pressure then on other people within the organisation to try and pick up the slack of what's there, what's left, the work that has to be done.
Yeah. And you're thinking, I suppose, of those people when you're taking part in the protest.
Yes, 100%, yeah.
And look, there is an issue as well, and I know FORSA have raised this, of following on from the embargo, that the HSE have a pay and number strategy, which, you know, that basically got rid of those posts. That is part of the problem here. Is that something you want reversed, or action taken on this, do you think, Karen, to try and make it worthwhile to stay there and have your pathway for your career in the health service if you choose to be that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, the vacancies that were there up to December 31st of December last year, like, they need to be filled. They're, like, the services were struggling without those people, the people who had left and the people who weren't replaced up to then. So, like, if they just wipe them out, people are going to burn out. Staff are not going to be able to continue providing as good a service as they have been doing to the public. Like, it definitely needs to be reversed. And it needs, like, if anything, we need more staff rather than reducing the numbers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. What do you say then, though, to the argument that's made that the HSE, look, from earlier on this year, they went 800 million over budget in the first 4 months of the year, and that was before the government injected an extra 1.5 billion to help run the health service, that part of the strategy on the embargo or on scrapping posts was to keep control of costs, which have gone out of control in the HSE in the last couple of years.
It has, but they seem to be hitting the wrong people, to be honest with you. Like, if you look across the board of the HSE, it is top heavy. Like, we need clerical officers, we need medical secretaries, we need people on the ground who are doing the day-to-day running of the place. We don't need more managers in there. So
too many managers at the higher level is part of the issue, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, and I look from there, that follows on then to what positions you hold, what positions you scrap. The more numerous of the positions, the more it'll be scrapped, and at the higher level, not enough being done to reform that. Do you think that will ever happen, or will it take industrial action like you're doing to try and raise the profile of this, Karen?
I don't think it's going to happen off their own back anyway, so more than likely it will take industrial action and just pushing forward like we are doing through FORSA, trying to get the situation rectified.
Yeah, and this protest at lunchtime is designed to raise awareness. I know there's a ballot for industrial action happening alongside that as well.
Yes, there is, and we're encouraging all members to vote on that up to the 26th of November, I think it's been extended to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can be done online, and UHK, I know, are putting kind of ballot areas in the hospital where they can come up to a laptop and vote if they're just not aware of it on their own computers at home, or if they've got the emails, so we can sort that out for them.
Yeah, so they can have their say and see if that. I suppose the question is, what happens after that? It probably moves on from a lunchtime protest to maybe heavier hitting protests or withdrawal of services.
Yeah, and look, nobody wants to go on strike, but at the end of the day, their staff aren't being listened to, they aren't being catered for, they're not being considered, to be honest with you, and they're being let burn out, and it's just hitting the services so badly that it just can't continue.
Yeah, Karen, you're gone from it now, obviously, into a different part of the civil service. But what do you think is going to happen as we head into winter in UHK?
Well, the usual winter stuff, as in, like, you have more people coming in with illnesses and elderly people coming in. Like, I don't know. I honestly, services just are going to be hit. People can't keep providing the service at such a good level, because it's just not possible, to be honest with you. And it's not fair that if people have to travel to, say, Cork, Limerick or other hospitals to get a service, you know, when we have it on our doorstep. But it's just with the staffing levels, we do need to talk about.
And are you saying with these vacancies, you can talk about a winter plan to try and help that or prevent that from happening, but that without the staff in place, that's unlikely to work? We're likely to see more people on trolleys in wards and in the A&E?
Yeah, definitely. And look, the other side of it is, you can't rely on people to be providing a service through overtime or something like that. You know, there should be enough staff that people can provide service on their day-to-day 9-to-5 job, that they shouldn't be relying on staff to come in at weekends or to provide overtime to make sure the service is up to scratch. So it just needs to be sorted.
Okay, Karen, listen, thanks very much for giving us your view on that this morning.
Okay, thanks, Jerry.
Karen Condon of FORSA Trade Union.